everybody. Good morning. I am so glad that you braved the cold. You know, nobody here is afraid of the cold, right? Nobody worried about it. If you are, I've got an overcoat back here you can borrow if you get too cold. But it looks like you're ready. And we're just going to have a wonderful day in God's house today. If you're visiting with us, visiting again, we're glad you come to join us for worship today. And we would just love to have you part of this family if the Lord leads you in that.
Amen.
I want you to open your Bible,
if you have it.
Or you can take it out and turn it on. Whatever you use. But just so you know, we're following along, it'll be in the book of Proverbs in the 18th chapter. Proverbs 18. As a teenager, Proverbs was one of my favorite books to read. I usually read it pretty much straight through. It's not all that long, because it offers a lot of wisdom. And it says young man this and young man that, and I thought, well, that's who I am. I qualify, so I better give attention to it. And Proverbs talks a lot about things. In Proverbs 18, we're going to give attention to verse 24. And it simply says this: a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. We pray that we'll just take everything and give over to you. I pray that you'll use me with this message, Lord. Help us to realize what it means to be friends, to be a good one, to have a good one, and to know that you truly are the greatest friend that we have, because you've saved us. You've set us free. You've given us someone to follow and to emulate and to be like. So I pray, Lord, as we come today, that we'll seek you out to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us and put us on the path of righteousness so we can be about your business, doing the things that you would have us to do. Thank you for your word that you've given us, and it gives us all that we need in instruction and understanding. Help us be mindful, Lord, to be mindful of studying, reading, loving, enjoying, and sharing this good news and this Bible to all those we come in contact with. Lord, we thank you so much, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a lot of different translations out there. I try not to pride myself too much, but I've tried to read every one of them. Every one that's come out, new ones have come out. Some I like, some I dislike, some I don't agree with. And there's all kinds. And people have all kinds of opinions of what is the best Bible to use. And some are almost hardcore about it. Some people say King James Version is the only Bible thing. And I were talking about that the other day, that, you know, there's some people think that that's it. Can't be anything else read. But when I tell people that there's at least 24,000 variants in the first translation of the King James Version, they don't want to believe me. And it's not to discredit it or put it down, but, you know, if you want to read the original language, learn Greek and Hebrew. Amen? If you want to go back that, I've had the privilege of studying those languages in school, and they're just as difficult as they sound. And when people talk about, you know, I don't know Greek, or it's Greek to me, well, that's what the Bible was written and translated in. And then later it was translated into our native tongue, which we should be thankful for, which is English. And what I read to you this morning was out of the New King James Version. And there's some people like the ESV, they all got initials. You know, there was the Living Bibles, the New Living Translation, and there's the New American Standard Bible. And when you come to them and you put them all together and you compare them, you realize that they're taken from a language that people have had to study. And go back, and there's nuances and things that sometimes in the translation, it's not like things are lost. It's like maybe sometimes it's Greek to us. I had to bring in a Greek Bible and an interlinear and read it word for word in the Greek, in English, and you would tell me to close the book. You say, that don't make any sense to me. I don't get that, because it's the breakdown of all those. And what I'm trying to point to is that when you come to some translations on this particular verse, where it makes the comment that a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Other translations will render this, a man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And you can go back in the scripture, you can read in the Hebrew as well as the Greek, and come to understand that they had nuances on words that we don't even comprehend. And as you read this, and it tells you at one point that yes, if you want to have friends, you're going to have to be friendly. But this corresponds with some other scriptures that make it very clear. And no, some people don't like to hear this, but you can have too many friends. And I can prove it. How many of you are on Facebook? Okay. How many do Twitter? How many don't do any of that? Do you not have any friends on Facebook? None at all whatsoever? Well, it used to be here when social media got in full swing, they had a tendency of redefining what a friend was. I don't go probably a day, without somebody sending me a friend request. I want to be your friend. I look at them and say, who is this? I don't know this person. Is this a scam or a spam or something? And then sometimes out of the blue, somebody from my past, I'll get a friend request from a dear friend. Say, contact me. Let me know. Are you alive? Doug, are you alive? And I type back, yes, I accept the request and all so forth. But I used to get a kick out of people who take out their phone and say, look here, I got 2,341 friends. And I said, who are they? I don't know. But it's like everybody won the bag. I got more friends than you do. Na, 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 na. Let me tell you. You can have all the friends you want, but it's very clear you need to be careful. Because sometimes they can bring you some trouble. Am I right? Good ones, bad ones, ugly ones, different, it doesn't matter. Too many friends, and if you brag about how many you got, you don't know who they are, you're barking up the wrong tree. But out on a social media platform, everybody's got friends, and they add to the list day to day, and they accumulate friends, not by the handful, but by the hundreds. And I don't ever brag about it. I don't ever look at my count, and if I got too many, I get rid of some. I go down that and I just purge that list and say, well, this person hasn't contacted me, and I don't know what this person's on here for as my friend, just somebody accepted, and so forth, so on. And every now and then, we want to run into an old acquaintance. You know, we want to see somebody, we want to hear from somebody, and I love the fact that they put up the old pictures. They don't want to show you a picture of themselves today because you wouldn't recognize them. Just like they say, who? Doug, what happened to you? You've changed. You got skinny, you got lost all your hair, and you know what you get. You know, that comes with aging and all of that stuff. But a lot of times those quote unquote friends are people that they barely know. But it's good to have an acquaintance, has come across a long-lost childhood friend. And, you know, sometimes you get up to this age, you find out you're the only one left. You're the only one still hanging in there. But psychologists tell us this. They said that no one really can manage more than a half dozen of actual friendships. Close friends. If I said to you to enumerate on your hand, how many close friends do you have? I mean, those kind of people who are your close friends, they know everything about you. They know your misgivings, they know your sin, they know your warts, they know everything, and they still love you. That's a friend, amen? That's a friend. I had one of those friends call me today. It's a habit. I get certain calls at certain times of the day, and if Robin's close by, I just say, turn that, you know, I don't want to hear that phone ringing at 4 in the morning. 5 in the morning, people know I'm up early and they'll call me. That's why you call me. If I don't answer it, I'm dead to the world, okay? But this morning I got a call, and I called this gentleman my brother. He worshiped here with us, and he said, "Is it cold where you are?" I said, "Yes." "Is it cold where you are?" He said, "Yes." He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm outside in this cold weather in my trench coat getting the ice off my windows, and I'm praying like crazy this 36-year-old car will start this morning." And he says, "I'm right down the road. If it doesn't start, I'll come fetch you and take you to the church." I said, "Amen. That's great. I appreciate that." He says, "I'll see you next week." And we will, because he's on the road driving a truck. But we're brothers. And that's the kind of friends that you want to have. That's the kind of friendships that they know your past and they still love you. They know that you're at your best and they know you're at your worst. And they still love you. Love, true friendship cannot be conditional. I will be your friend. You know, I love when a teenager, he used to run around and go, "You're my best friend. Oh, you're my best friend forever." No, you're not. You're best friend forever until they take your boyfriend. And then you become a hated enemy. But, "Oh, we'll be your friend. We'll be your friend. We'll be your friend." You can't have a bunch of BFFs in your life. And cherish the friends that you really do have, because true friendships are something that take time. And I'll tell you, quite frankly, some of it is simply this. Part of it is our time is spent recovering from disappointments that we've had with other human relationships. Amen? Oh, listen, everybody's got some story of woe, of where somebody let them down tremendously. Or somebody once said, "Never loan money to your friend. Just give it to them." Amen? If somebody comes to you with a true need, just help them out. You know, oftentimes they'll pay back. I borrowed some money from a friend of mine a while back, and he charged me interest. I said, "Okay, I'll get it." And then one day he calls me and I say, hey, brother, let me tell you something. I read the Bible the other day. You and I are brothers in Christ. I'm not supposed to charge you interest. I'll be right over with that. I mean, this is a year or so after I paid the loan back with the interest. And he comes to my house and he says, "Here's the money I owe you. I'm sorry I charged you interest." I said, "See, I told you you should read the Bible." So I didn't say anything about it before, but when you read your Bible, you'll do what's right. So friends are important. And, you know, Solomon, when he writes this, another place in the scripture, does make a sense of clarity that a lot of friends might be dangerous, might be caustic. So you have to be very careful. There's a good thing that says here, a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I hope you notice the difference here, because it goes from a singular term as opposed to a plural term. In other words, you shift from friends, plural meaning many, to where you come down to singular, one. And some of you would be willing to give anything if you had one person that was that close to you, regardless, and would be a friend for life without any conditions whatsoever. You don't have to worry about them. If you let them down, do something stupid, they're still going to love you. And that's why it says this is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It's really rare to find a friend who will hang in there with you through the thick and thin of life, and who will come alongside you and will purposely encourage you in your walk with Jesus Christ. That is a friend who lift you up when you're fallen, who carry you and will purposely help you as the two of you follow and serve Jesus Christ. And I have to tell you right now, I've had friends. I've had these kind of friends I'm explaining to you. I've walked with them, talked with them, prayed with them, laughed with them, loved them, watched them die, bury them. I've had friends like that. One particular Christmas week, I was serving as a pastor, serving as a hospice chaplain. And in one week, one Christmas several years ago, I had 9 deaths a week before Christmas. And 3 of those were absolutely some of the very best friends I had in life. And out of those 9 funerals, I preached 7 of them. You think I was down? You know what the best news is? I'm going to see them again. Because we walked and talked with and about and for Jesus Christ. I'll see them again. And I hold on with tenacity to that truth because it's a promise that's given us with Christ. And there, you think we're going to have fun when we go over to eat there a little meal today? Let me tell you what, when we join in the Lord's, the Lamb's feast, it's going to be fantastic. It'll be the best you've ever had. You know why? Because surrounded by the table are like-minded, saved people whom you've walked and talked with about Jesus Christ. And the closest friend that you'll ever have will do everything they can to encourage you to walk with Christ. You'll hang out at church together. You'll send each other letters. You'll call each other. You'll stay in touch. And you know, the Bible in the book of John talks about Jesus Christ being our friend and the disciples having that relationship. So here's what I'm going to suggest that you do. It's just a simple procedure. There's only 2 points to it. 1 and 2. First and second. So first, here's what I want you to do. I want you to invest everything that you are, that you're about, your interests, your plans, your goals, your family, everything that makes you who you are. I want you to first off invest that into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the one who went to the cross for you, rose again, ascended into heaven with the word, "I'm coming back." I'm sure it wasn't sing-songy, but he said, "I'm coming back." He came first as our Savior. He's coming back as our Lord. He's coming back as a judge. He's coming back as our truest friend to fetch us and take us with him. So, first thing, invest everything you can into your friendship with Jesus Christ. And secondly, like the same, almost like Jesus said, "I got you 2 commandments." Will you invest your life in friendship with Christ? And second, if you've got a friend like Jesus, then you invest in that person's life just as well. Find out what they like. They like a chocolate shake? Go buy a Dairy Queen one day. Oh, by the way, Judy, thank you. Amen. Judy, I used the Dairy Queen gift you gave me. Take that to a friend. Ah, you want a chocolate? I know. Well, you bought this one? Yeah. There's some fries for it too, boy. They'll just be blessed. Amen? So first, invest in a friendship with Jesus Christ. And secondly, invest in a friend right here on this planet. And invest in them and be thankful if you've got somebody that much that loves you, no matter what is said and done. And the best way, founded upon the scripture, to find such a friend is to be that kind of friend yourself to somebody else. So how many friends you got? Well, I saw some of them that had 4,000 plus friends on Facebook. I'm going to get into their head and say, "You nut, you foolish person, you don't have that many friends. So stop lying." How many friends you got that I'm talking about like Jesus? 1. Thank God if you've got 1. 2. Thank God even more. 3, keep thanking him. 4, 5, 6, that's your limit. That's your limit. Psychology says we do our very best if we can 6 actual friendships like that. If you ain't got none, you ain't working at it. Start working at it. The scripture said, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord. We first off can't thank you enough for that, what you've done for us to being a true friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. We sing that song, what a friend. Deals with all my burdens, all my cares, hears my prayers. What a friend. Lord, would you help us to be friends like that to others? We might have to start a friendship by telling somebody about Jesus Christ, about the good news and the gospel. And that would forever strengthen friendships and develop friendships, Lord, the ones that we can hold for the rest of our lives and for all of eternity. And bless us at this time, Father, because maybe there's somebody here who needs to make a decision for you, follow through on something that you've been dealing with in their lives. Maybe they got problems with friends they need to correct. Maybe they got a problem with you that needs to be corrected, Father. I pray that we'll seek you today, seek your face, and know exactly what you want of us, and we'll follow through to your expectations. Lead us now, Jesus, as we sing this wonderful song and as we make decisions. We're already making decisions, Father, whether or not we want to make it public, that we belong to you, we dedicate our lives, join this church, whatever it is, those things that we can make public, or just come and pray. But whatever it is, Lord, would you lead us at this time? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.